Hey, everybody. Welcome to Bike Report with Drew and Ted. Once again, we're doing another Turbo show. Ruby's back there somewhere. Hey, Ruby, hope you're doing well. She's not going to appear on camera again this week. Drewster, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Normally, our buddy Chris would join us, but he has, like, duties and obligations with, like, a real job. So, like,
come on,
like,
man.
Ever.
Can you work weekends?
No, I can't work no weekends. There's too much going on right now. Some, you know what I'm saying? Events be going on. I got to be outside with everybody else. So, no, ma'am, I can't work weekends.
Okay.
Don't ask me no more, respectfully.
He can't join us. It'll be another couple weeks before he can, before his schedule will allow, but we eagerly await his return. We've been talking about free agency. We had a couple live shows earlier in the week. Go check those out on our live streams tab there on our YouTube page. And also go out, check out our Purple Pain Forums, purplepainforums.com. That's our home on the World Wide Web. Great community of folks. Great discussions on Vikings free agency, which I'm and Drew and I think Chris is pretty fired up about. Purplepainforums.com. Tonight we're going to talk, we're just going to do positional analysis. We're going to talk about guards and centers. Before we do, on Wednesday we were talking about Harrison Smith re-signing for 1 year, $7 million. We both love the signing. One thing I wanted to mention on Wednesday, I'm just going to say this real quick. I'm kind of past the retiring of numbers. I get why you can't retire numbers of players. You're just going to run out of numbers eventually. I would make an exception for number 22 because someday, Drew, I believe Harrison Smith is going to go in the Hall of Fame. And at that point, you're going to have two former Vikings that will be in the Hall of Fame that wore the number 22. Harrison Smith and Paul Krause. Paul Krause, the all-time NFL interception leader. Record will never be broken. The way the rules are now, unless they change him drastically back, never be broken. Harrison Smith, I think you can make a legitimate argument he is the greatest modern safety to ever play the game. Maybe next to Ed Reed. Put that number in the rafters.
Yeah. You got to retire them both within those names. Maybe make a split ring of honor thing or something.
One of our very first episodes, way back, like episode one or two, I think it was, whatever. Remember we used to do when we were still trying to figure out what our show was going to be? You did the thing on Paul Krause. You called him the 100 man or something.
Man.
Yeah, because he had 100, exactly 100 turnovers for the Vikings.
Yeah, 81 picks, 19 fumble recoveries. That means he's given back to his offense 100 times.
Yeah, just a
I don't know who
player.
Else has done that. But it's got to be – it used to be clear-cut Paul Krause, best safety in Viking history, and nobody else. Harrison Smith is like 1B now. I mean –
he's right there.
Yeah, he's right there. And I'm glad he's going to be back for another season. And sure, if you retired it, I'm not going to complain, Teb. I'm not a big retired number guy either.
Yeah, I was used to get miffed that Randy Moss's number wasn't retired, and 81 wasn't retired for Carl Eller and Anthony Carter, but I kind of get it now. But I think they should make an exception for the number 22 for those two guys. But anyways.
I think so too, Ted.
But with that out of the way, let me jump down off my soapbox. We're going to roll right into our positional analysis. Grayson, take it away.
Hey everyone, it's Ted's grandson Grayson, and now it's time for the Vikings Report off-season positional analysis segment. Hit it, Papa.
Man, love that little kid. I tell you what, man, we talk football every time he comes over, Papa.
Do you?
So, oh yeah, he's like smarter than me on football. He was underwhelmed by Sam Darnold signing.
Well, most of us were.
All right. So we're going to do interior offensive line. We're going to cover two positions. We're going to cover guard and center. We are going to start with guard. And as always, we're going to start with guys on the roster. From there, we're going to move to free agents that we would kind of like to see signed. And then we're going to show you Drew's big board and possible draft selections that he likes and that could be potential guys he's going to put on Vikings watch. So as of right now, we record on Wednesday. The only guys as of day one in the new league year on the roster are Blake Brandel and Ed Ingram. And Blake Brandel's kind of a guy that can play everywhere along the line, but the Vikings are officially listing him as a guard on their roster, and then last year's right guard, Ed Ingram. Dude, I like both those guys. Obviously, they're both going to stay.
Right.
But the position has to be addressed either in free agency or the draft. The one guy that I'm kind of surprised that has not been re-signed by now is Dalton Risner. I thought the dude played great for the Vikings last year.
Get it done. Get it
done. I don't get it, man. I mean, they traded Ezra Cleveland, who signed a pretty big deal with Jacksonville, and the Vikings didn't bring Risner back. And Risner even put out on his Twitter account, look, I'm not asking for the bag. I just want a market deal. I'm not asking for big money. So I'm just going to go to the gym and work out, and somebody call me. I mean, I don't know what the deal is. I just don't. The guy played good football for the Vikings last year.
Ted, I got the Vikings right now, free agency, currently at an A-minus grade. If they don't get the Reisner thing done and get him re-signed, I'm dropping it to a C.
I'm not dropping it that far, but
I am. They got to sign that guy. You got to have him at left guard. Come on, Ted. You need stability on that line. You know, we've been playing the musical chairs on that line for years, Ted. Let's keep a guy who can get it done. Why not keep a guy who can get it done?
Yeah, that's true. There's a couple other guys out there that I looked at, a couple names that popped out of me, that if they don't go after Dalton Reisner in free agency, Connor Williams and Lakin Tomlinson are two names that I thought, those are intriguing names. What about you?
Isn't Connor Williams a center?
Yeah, but they have him listed as both as guard and center. So I think he can play both spots, which kind of makes him even more attractive to me.
Everybody wants to get Connor Williams, though. He's probably the top guy.
Yeah, that's probably true.
He's going to get a lot of money, wouldn't you think? If he's not the top guy in free agency, he's probably, as David Stefano says, the big round bellies up front.
Yeah.
Who else did you have on your guard list?
Lakin Tomlinson.
I did not have him, but I do like that player, Ted. I think that's a good choice by you.
I can kind of see why the Vikings sort of let the first wave pass, because guards got big money on the first couple of days. Robert Hunt went from Miami to Carolina, 5 years, $100 million.
He's a great player.
Mike Onwenu went from, stayed with New England, 3 years, $57 million. Damian Lewis, Seattle to Carolina, 4 years, $53 million. Jonah Jackson, Detroit to the Rams, 3 for $51 million. John Runyon, Green Bay to the Giants, 3 for $30 million. Nick Allegretti, Kansas City to Washington, 3 for $16 million. So, I mean, big money. I think the Vikings are waiting for that market to settle down, or they could be waiting to see what happens in the draft and how the draft unfolds, because they've got, 9 picks, I think, in the draft, depending on what they do to trade up to get a quarterback. I don't know. They've got to address the left guard position in free agency, I think, as a minimum.
I think they're going to get one in free agency, Ted. Like you said, they're waiting for the first wave to go by, and I think they're going to get one on my Drew Big Board 15. Pretty mediocre class of guards, but there's some guys you could really make a wave with in there also. So,
all right, well, let's pull that big board up then.
Meow, meow. There it is. You give me the horns.
Doo, 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 doo.
There we go. The old guard intro, Ted. It's an important position that nobody ever talks about. They never get taken that early in the draft, it doesn't seem.
Oh, look at that. You got a Michigan guy here at the top of your board. Shocker. Big shocker. Wow.
He deserves it.
Huh.
Weird. In 2021, there was only 2 guards taken in the first 48. 2022, there was 19 taken. 3 first rounders, which you never see. 2023, 15 taken. None in the first round.
Here's my thing. Everybody thinks guards don't matter.
Right.
Until your quarterback is rolled up in the fetal position a half a second after he takes a snap and drops back because your guards can't block a defensive tackle.
Mike Remmers. Come on.
Yeah. So tell me about Christian Haynes and Zach Zinner. Why do you have a UConn guy ahead of one of your Michigan boys?
That UConn guy, that guy plays with a nasty demeanor, Ted. I like angry offensive linemen, Quinn Miners. I like guys like that.
I love that dude.
First thing I notice with all my offensive linemen is, do they get bull rushed? Because I'm sick of seeing our offensive linemen get pushed back into the quarterback. And I think Christian Haynes is the best all-around guard. I had him as a B-plus pass protector, a B run blocker. Last 2 seasons, Ted, 786 pass blocking snaps, 1 sack allowed, 2,400 career snaps. He's given up 1 sack in 12 hurries his whole career. He's a solid player. He's a pure right guard, but he's not going to play really anywhere else. You're going to put him at right guard. And Zach Zinter, we know he had the injury with Michigan, the broken tibia and fibula and fibia and all the rest of the IAs that was possible.
That happened in the Ohio State game, didn't it? Didn't that happen in the OSU game?
Yeah, it was a dirty hit.
No, it wasn't. It just happened, man. It just happened.
I know. Kidding. God. He's 6'6", 309. Kind of tall for a guard. 6'6". You don't see a lot of guards. They're usually about 6'4", and 310, 320. He needs to get healthy from his injury, but if he hadn't hurt himself against Ohio State, he'd be the top guard going in this draft.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
Didn't do a lot of combine drills, but he did a lot of the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
He basically, in one interview I saw, he said, they asked him about the injury and getting ready, and he says, I will be football ready. Don't you worry about that. So he sold me on that. He's a very strong player, very physical, And he played on a Harbaugh offensive line. Those guys learn more than the average offensive line, Ted.
They do.
Zach Zinter, I don't think anybody's going to be worried about his injury. I don't think so. Beebe, you want to know about Chad Beebe?
Cooper Beebe?
Cooper Beebe! Not related, Ted.
Is he from the long line of Beebe football royalty?
God, I hope not. The cool thing about Beebe is I got him at an A-plus and an A-minus, pass and run block, respectively. 774 snaps at left tackle, 1,738 tackles at left guard.
Wow.
And 103 snaps at right tackle. He sometimes struggles against quick defensive tackles. He gets himself lunging because they get around him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing he really has problems with. He's a wall. When he gets his hands on you, he's like unmovable. And I like that about him. Mostly left guard. You're looking for a talented guy. He's the guy to go get. Christian Mahogany's a very good player. That's when it starts to tail off. You know, there's a lot of developmental guys in here. I like Mahogany because he's played 33 games.
Okay.
752 pass block snaps and only one sack and two hits allowed. And I like Boston College offensive lineman, Ted. The great Chris Lindstrom, who's doing a hell of a job over there with Atlanta.
Oh, hey, look at this. Trevor Keegan, another one of your Michigan boys right up there near the top.
Talented.
Oh, my God, shut up. Whatever. I'm going to love it when Michigan wins like four games next year. I'm going to absolutely love it.
Four games. Come on, Ted. We're going to be undefeated when we go to Columbus to kick your ass again.
Shut up. Whatever. Anyways, who do you got on Viking Watch?
Before I get to Viking Watch, Brandon Coleman, that guy started playing football his junior year in high school.
Really?
Yeah, and he's a great player. He might be the steal of the whole draft when he's done. He's unproven, so you can't put him really in the top three or something, but for only playing football that long, he is very impressive.
Any relation to Dabney Coleman?
No, I don't. The great Dabney Coleman. Who do I have first on my Viking list? I have Matthew Jones from Ohio State.
Really? Thanks for throwing me a bone there, buddy.
Oh, you know what, Ted? I call it like I see it. I don't play favorites. I liked Matthew Jones. I gave him a C on pass protection, a B on run blocking. He played 47 games. Two seasons at Ohio State, he played left guard. Three seasons, he played right guard. Versatility, Ted.
I just have not been impressed with Ohio State's offensive line the last couple of years, just collectively.
None of us have, really. Except Donovan Edwards. He loves the – oh, that's the defensive line. Sorry. A lot of experience, versatile, left guard, right guard. You can't really find a lot of bad tape on the guy. He has very good patience in the pass protection. He doesn't, like, wig out. I like the guys that don't, like, freak out and start holding. He's very patient at what he's doing. The only way to describe that guy in the run game is he mauls defensive linemen. He's a mauler. I mean, he seems like he's got kind of a nasty attitude, so I put him on the Viking watch. I like the left guard, right guard experience, man. I really like that.
If I'm thinking of the right guy, he seems slower getting to the second level, though. When he's asked to, like, pull, I can't remember if it was Jones or not. And I think it is, like, when Travion Henderson's trying to get to the edge, Jones just is really slow to get to the edge to kind of to get the seal. I mean, Henderson's usually past whoever they're asking to get the edge to make the seal block anyway. So
holding the edge, that's definitely a spot. A lot of these guys have trouble with that, Ted. You are right, though. That's one of the parts of his game he's got to work on. I also got the Boston College Hurgel. Boston College had a hell of an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Three schools, North Dakota, and then he went to Texas State, then to Boston College for the last year. Four seasons at right guard, 2,309 snaps, and only gave up four sacks.
Man, that's just a ton of experience, dude.
2,300 snaps, only gave up four sacks. Left guard, right guard, he had 868 snaps with zero sacks his last year.
Wow.
He's a great player. I got him on Viking Watch just because he's physical. He struggles in all the fundamentals that are coachable. When he's out of position, he gets back into position. He's very experienced. He knows where he's supposed to be. But I think he's very coachable, and I think the Vikings can work with him. I got him in Viking Watch. And I got Mason McCormick on Viking Watch, Ted. South Dakota guy.
See, I'm always dubious of these small school guys.
He's Conrad Dobler. He is. He's the angriest guy that I looked at on tape.
Danny DeVito's angry, but he's not going to be an offensive lineman in the NFL.
I'm gonna hang my Viking flyer on Mason McCormick. I hear what you're saying there. What about twins? When he said, "I'm your twin."
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger said, "I'm your twin." And Danny DeVito said,
"I see the resemblance."
I thought I was looking into a mirror.
I'd buy that more with like a skill guy from a small school, but man, offensive linemen from FCS schools, I just think, have a harder time transitioning to the NFL. That's just me.
We'll see. Give us something to talk about when we're doing our draft shows. We'll wait to see if Mason McCormick gets a shot somewhere. Mean, nasty, physical, and he played in a run-heavy offense there at South Dakota State. So
okay. That helps a lot. I'll give you that. That helps a lot.
That's about it for guards.
All right. With that, let's move to the center position. On the roster, the only center currently is Garrett Bradbury. Man, I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. I thought he had a very good 2022 season. Thought he regressed fairly significantly last year. Rumors that he might be cut this year. I think they kind of need to move in a different direction with Bradbury, but that's just me. What about you? You want to roll the dice with Bradbury again or what?
Now's the perfect time to revamp the center position with Kirk Cousins leaving. Let's just do it.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I'm down. Yeah, let's go. Let's go.
Let's do that.
Let's go. Let's go. Any free agents you want to talk
about? Oh, free agents. Yeah, I do have, well, Connor Williams, we're not going to get him. Yep. But he would be my first choice because that guy's so damn good. I had Lloyd Cushenberry, but I hear he re-signed with Denver. Tyler Biadasz with Dallas. I like him as a center. He's a free agent. Oh, and Brian Allen.
Let's see. Cushenberry re-signed. Biadasz re-signed. Aaron Brewer re-signed. Cody Whitehair's available as of this broadcast. Connor Williams is available.
How about Brian Allen?
Is available. Yeah, he's available.
Brian Allen, KOC's old buddy.
Yeah.
Remember they turned his career around? He sucked.
Mason Cole's available.
Michigan guy, long in the tooth. I think we should go for Brian Allen. That's my choice on the free agent board.
Pat Elflein's out there. I'm just kidding. All right. Let's look at the big board. Let's go to the big board.
Wait. Pat Elflein.
Remember when we thought that was a great pick at 2017 with him and Dalvin Cook?
Dude. That guy ate glass in college. He was the best offensive lineman.
He was
the best. Him and that Wyatt guy. Him and Wyatt.
Wyatt Davis.
I don't know why either of those guys didn't end up. They were two of the best interior linemen I've ever done draft research on. Elflein had no flaws. I thought that was a great pick. Okay. Centers. Usually not a lot taken early, Ted. What was there taken last year? 9 taken, which is kind of a lot for the center position. When I have my top 15, if I can get 8 or 9, I'm happy with it. But that's usually the position I don't cover all the way to the top because there's not a lot taken every year.
What's the most you ever had taken off your big board? Do you know off the top of your head?
Quarterback and center are the two positions I can only get to about 9 or 10 on. I should probably have a top 10 for center because there's 9 taken and then there's 40 corners taken. So it's easier to hit on when you have 40 guys taken. But in 2022, there's only 6 centers taken in the draft, and I have a top 15, gonna have a lot of misses there, you know. So it is a little skewed, but I go top 15 on all my positions. But the most I've hit, I think, was last year on centers. I think I got all of them. 2022, there was one taken in every round except the fourth round. There was one in each round. The first thing we got to mention is Dylan McMahon, Ted.
Okay,
he's the first guy I have to say, if this football thing doesn't work out, he can always start a Kenny G tribute band. Take a look at him. I don't have any information on him, but I want you to know he's got a backup plan if the center thing doesn't work out.
He looks like Kenny G ate an entire deli. Nom, nom, nom.
Is he not Kenny G? Look at him.
Yeah, it is. Like a 300-pound Kenny G. But, I mean, he's an offensive lineman, so that's okay. I'm not saying the dude's fat. But, like, if you look at a picture of Kenny G and then this guy, I'm just saying.
Kenny G? What, Kenny Gordo? Centers. There's 4 top guys, Ted. And then it's all pretty much developmental guys. That's how I see it. Jackson Powers Johnson, by far the best center in this draft. Dude's awesome, Ted. A-plus pass protector, A-minus. He's the only guy that has a shot going in the first round. If he goes, it'll be late in the first round, probably more like 32 to 35 area, just entering the second round. Won the Remington Trophy, fully deserved it. It's kind of weird. He started his career at Oregon as a backup defensive tackle. He was a second-string defensive tackle at Oregon, and then he moved to right guard, and then 2023 moved to center. For the amount of time he's played center, that he's that good, means he's going to be a Pro Bowler. 829 snaps at center for Oregon. No sacks, one hit, only three pressures. That is nuts. Only three pressures on the entire season, only one sack allowed. They're not going to regret it, whoever gets him. He's clearly the best center in the draft, and I don't think we're going to be taking a center that high. So same thing on Zach Frazier. I like Zach Frazier, Ted, because you could see the wrestler in him on his tape. He's a former wrestler, West Virginia, big high school wrestler. He wrestles guys, and the wrestlers seem to do well at offensive line. Ed White, man, he could wrestle. He got a B for my pass blocking, B- for my run blocking. Cedric Van Pran would be another guy that's going to be a really good player in the NFL. He got a B and a B on my grading system. I had him as the top center last year, and then he went back to Georgia and played. He had kind of a sloppy year this year, so it dropped him down a little bit. But he was number one last year going into the college football season, number one center in America. Let's get down to the Viking watch, guys. What do you say?
All right.
Matt Lee. A lot of people have him as an undrafted free agent. I do not, Ted. I have him as a kick-ass player. I had him as an A grade in the pass game. I had him as a C grade in the run game. University of Central Florida transferred to the U. I love his experience with 2,500 snaps. 2,500 snaps, you're going to learn a lot about the center position. And I think most people have him really low because they think his bad tape is too bad. But I don't. I think it's all fixable.
The Bo Nix of centers, if you will.
That is a very good – you know what, Ted? You got this down. That's exactly right. When you watch him, even if he has bad tape, like if a guy has a bad block or something, The fact that he's really quick to get out there, he might have just had a bad play. But overall, he got out on the play, and he was quick, and he used his hands well. He just didn't make – he missed on the block or something. Okay. You can't take away from him his quickness, his lateral movement. You know what I'm saying? Bad tape can still be good tape. Nobody could bull rush him in the interior. Nobody could. He has a little problem with the quick defensive tackles, the quick guys, but that's something that can be fixed. I got him ranked where I got him ranked, and I'm going to stick with it. All you people that have him is an undrafted free agent, and I understand why they have him as an undrafted free agent. I just see something in him, Ted, that gives me the Viking watch.
Okay.
I see something in him where if you draft him and work with him, he is going to be a mauler. He wouldn't be able to play right away, but and either would Will Putnam, the Clemson guy. Loved his tape, Ted. He's a total project guy, but I see a lot of potential with Mr. Will Putnam. That's pretty much it for Viking Watch.
I got one thing I want to say about Tanner Bordellini, the Wisconsin kid. I've seen pictures of Tanner Bordellini. And if you take him out of his Wisconsin uniform and you put him in a charcoal pinstripe suit, I can see him easily being the Don of the Milwaukee Mob in about 6 or 7 years.
Let's get a picture of Bordellini in there.
And just run the Godfather theme in the background and tell me I'm not wrong.
What about Hunter Norgard? I forgot to mention him.
Okay, what do you got for him?
Before he got to Penn State, he's a very good lineman. Very smart. He picks up, you know, defensive lineman twist and stunt.
Yeah.
He's really quick to pick up what he's supposed to do in that. All his stunt tape, he's right on it.
The Vikings should pick him up simply because the Vikings' interior offensive line has sucked at picking up stunts and twists for half a dozen years.
All those other guys, Kingsley and Rame and Monk and Putnam, are all really projected as guys that are 2 or 3 years away, Ted.
Okay. All right.
But those top five, you can put Charles Turner in there. It's a really pedestrian center group. It's not like the one we had back when they got three in the first round, like I mentioned, but one thing about Putnam, he's a don't-quit competitor, and I like guys that don't quit.
Unbridled enthusiasm, heretofore unknown to man.
Enthusiasm.
All righty. Folks, look, that'll be another wrap for an abbreviated show. We really appreciate your patience with the last two studio shows. We wanted to get as much information out on a live show as it happened, as quickly as it could anyways. We know, you know, speed is paramount when, you know, stuff is breaking. Next week, we will kind of have a more normal show format, if you will, when we get back in studio. A couple weeks from now, our buddy Chris will be back in studio with us, we hope, when his schedule allows it. But for now, thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing. We're over 25,000. It's a new day in Minnesota Vikings football. Really looking forward to the draft and draft night. We're going to be live with Drew and with Chris and with Toonses, and it's going to be a whole lot of fun watching the Vikings trying to move up and get a quarterback and And I'll try to do better the next time. And, buddy, take us home.
Shout out to everybody for joining us for this episode. But shout out to Ed White, the great Ed White. I got a signed Ed White jersey that is my absolute favorite jersey, Ted.
That's a nice jersey, man.
You know, it's funny. I talked to Ed White. We're from the same hometown.
Yeah, you mentioned that before. Yeah.
We got this conversation about La Mesa, Spring Valley, Lemon Grove. They're all three little cities right next to each other. In Lemon Grove, they have this giant lemon because it's Lemon Grove. In the middle of the city, it's this big-ass, huge lemon. We used to go drink beer there on Friday night. He got all excited, and he went, dude, my dad put the stucco on the big lemon. No way!
When it got constructed, got erected, that's kind of cool.
He was very excited. Somebody even knew about the big lemon anymore. Thanks for everybody joining us. Thank you, Toonses. Thank you, Viking Nation. We will see you on the next time. Say goodnight, Ted.
Good night, Ted.
Get Chris back in here. What the hell's he slacking off for?
I don't know.
Come on, man. We need you back in here, Chris Gates. Get in here!